All right, this is enough.
So this was Jorge's idea. The kid's got a mind of his own.
This is enough.
Mason and Ireland, a live imaging Tuesday, a little after 2 p.m. in the South Plant.
It's better intro music.
Yeah, we're just a couple of guys messing around. That's what we are.
Can't win.
I had to do a little of that this morning just to calm down because I was so ramped up.
Is that right? Did you gummy up?
No, I did flour.
Oh, you did flour.
Here's the thing. LZ taught me this.
Okay.
A little flour in the morning before the coffee.
Yeah.
And then the
wake and bake?
Yeah, the caffeine mainlines.
Are you on a wake and bake right now?
I mean, that was at 4 a.m., so.
So, like, yeah, you're awake.
Are you,
Kevin awake.
Durant? You're high right now?
No, I'm not. I wish I was, though.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, Travis and I went hard at it, too.
Yeah, you really did. I mean, Travis is.
Well, he's gutless.
Really nice guy. He's not gutless.
He's gutless. Here's my point.
Yeah, okay.
We're talking sports. Get ready,
go ahead,
John.
And make your point.
The Bus family. We love the Bus family.
Yes.
Dr. Bus is everything in this city, right? Mm-hmm. We just spent 10 weeks watching Legacy, which I loved, by the way. Would he have ever allowed this to go on? If he owned the Dodgers, somebody's head would have been shot out of a cannon already. Because you can't have this. So all my point is to Travis is find somebody. Greg says, oh, no, it's not Dave.
It is.
Yesterday,
well,
all you guys don't.
Bergman says Dave has nothing to do with it. He's just a puppet.
Okay.
I mean, he is just a puppet.
Find the puppeteer.
You use the word puppet.
Well,
that's
Andrew Friedman.
Then guess what?
Oh, you want Andrew Friedman gone.
Shouldn't somebody pay for this heartbreak that you guys.
No. Yeah, sure. Dustin Turner.
Just saying. That's my sports take, John.
All right. There you go.
Chris, very impressed.
Thank you. Mason in Ireland continues now.
I mean, he only has, you know, the number one team in baseball and the number one farm system and has built up a whole team. But, you know, that's get rid of
yeah,
him.
Yeah, but beyond that, yeah, get rid
I
of
mean,
him.
I mean, listen, looked great against the Padres.
Sure,
though.
Sure replaceable. He's Andrew Friedman, very, very replaceable. So, all right. So, John, there have been stories about this for a while. That James Corden, who's the host of the late show?
For now.
For
he's
now.
Leaving.
He's leaving.
Yeah.
Has been banned from a New York restaurant. James Corden is a hugely gifted comedian. This is the owner of a restaurant called Balthazar in New York.
This guy owns multiple restaurants in New York.
Says James Corden is a hugely gifted comedian, but a tiny cretin of a man and most abusive customer to my Balthazar servers since the restaurant opened 25 years ago. So I've got a couple of managers' reports, and one of them is really interesting. I'll read the second one first because there's a question about the first one. This is manager report. James Corden was at Balthazar with his wife on October 9th for brunch. He asked for a table outside. Brunch maitre d', Allie Wolters, took the party to table 301. Mr. Corden's wife ordered an egg yolk omelet and Gruyere cheese and salad. A few minutes later, they received the food. James called their server and told them that there is a little bit of egg white mixed with the egg yolk. MK informed the floor manager the kitchen remade the dish, but unfortunately sent it with home fries instead of salad. That's when James Corden began yelling like crazy to the server, quote, "You can't do your job. You can't do your job. Maybe I should go into the kitchen and cook the omelet myself." The waitress or waiter was very apologetic, brought the manager over to the table. They returned the dish, and after that, everything was fine. He gave them promo champagne glasses to smooth things out. And at the end, the shift worker, the waiter, was very, very nervous and upset. James Corden is very funny. Right? I guess, you know what? All he's really got is carpool karaoke. I've never seen the show in my life. Have you?
Yeah, I have.
Is it good?
Yeah, but this, I've heard this about him before.
Yeah, me too.
If we all lived by the golden rule, which is treat other people the way you would want to be treated, I think this world would be a much better place. James Corden obviously doesn't do that. The guy, there's an update on this story, by
okay.
the way. The guy did ban him and publicly lit him up. Corden called him and apologized profusely. So now the guy has lifted the ban and told him he's welcome to come back as long as he behaves himself. But I mean, did you ever work in a restaurant? Were you ever a waiter or a bartender?
No, I worked in a grocery store. That was my job when I was growing up.
It's really easy to get what we would say in the weeds.
Well, sure.
Get really busy and really crazy. And unless somebody's doing, like, is deliberately incompetent. Like it's checked out. Like you say you always have a problem with waiters that have a bad attitude.
Yeah, bad attitude. I don't like a bad attitude. Treat people the way you'd like to be treated.
Yeah, and
exactly what you said.
If James Corden, if I was the restaurant owner, even though James Corden called and apologized, I would have said thank you for apologizing, and let's just agree to disagree. We won't be. Please don't come into my restaurant anymore. I'd be done with the guy.
Here's the other report. So James Corden was on table 61. Again, this is the manager's report. There was a hair in James Corden's food. Now, okay. After eating his main course, Corden showed the hair to Balthazar manager,
so he ate.
Right, ate it. Was very apologetic. Corden was extremely nasty to the waiter. Get us another round of drinks this second, and also take care of all of our drinks so far. This way, I write any nasty reviews on Yelp or anything like that. So
yeah, it's just a, it's.
But if you find a hair in your food, let's take that aside. You're at dinner at.
You found a tooth in your sandwich.
Yeah, I did. I found a piece of tooth in my sandwich.
This is
and you still go to Starbucks.
I still go to Starbucks. Exactly. So somebody, there's a hair in your food, a hair in your dinner at your favorite restaurant. Okay. How do you handle it?
I send it back. Just say, hey, guys, this somehow a hair got in this food. Can I just have another order? And then I, you know, just go back to eating my order. I mean, nobody, I don't think they're intentionally putting hair in the food, do you?
No, God, no. I mean, it's a complete accident. There's a way to handle it rationally and kindly and professionally and just say, dude, there's a hair in the salad. You're right. Just please remake it for me. I'm not going to go on to Yelp and say, this restaurant, I hate those Yelp people. I think the Yelp people suck. The ones that say worst of the worst, they go on, they make a review, and it's worst of the worst.
Have you ever gone on Yelp and given any type of review, positive
never.
Or negative?
I'm not a review person. I haven't been on TripAdvisor. I've not been on Yelp. I don't do any of those things.
Right, but you emailed that one airline, or you tweeted that one airline when you were unhappy with them. That's the same thing as going on Yelp.
That's true.
No, it's actually not.
Why?
Because it wasn't public.
Oh, you only told the whole
city.
I did not tweet it. I DM'd it. So it was between me and JetBlue. That's it.
And so, but how did you get their attention in the first place? They follow you?
No, I DM'd them.
Oh, their DMs are open.
Yeah, their DMs are open. Mine are open. So we had a conversation back and forth. And in the end.
See, by lighting them up on the radio, you made it public.
Well, I wasn't going to light them up on the radio, but it slipped out one day.
By accident.
It just slipped out.
That's the same as doing a Yelp review, isn't
totally
it?
Totally by accident. Yeah,
hey, we're just a couple of guys messing around.
I think it's worse than a Yelp review. Going on the radio and talking about it. All right, Dylan Hernandez, who is a columnist at the LA Times, has got a take on the Dodgers, and I think it's very wrong-headed, but let's hear
what
him out. He says, any review of the Dodgers' failure starts with the organization's overarching philosophy implemented by Friedman that devalues starting pitching and calls for the use of an assembly line of relievers. This is an industry-wide trend. Highlight that. And it works. And then he says, to a degree. The Dodgers have taken this concept to an extreme as their management apparatus has demonstrated an inclination to stick with their pregame script rather than allow a starter who's performing well to pitch an extra inning or two. That's what happened Saturday when Roberts removed Tyler Anderson after five scoreless innings with his pitch count at 86. That also happened 3 days earlier during Game 2 when Clayton Kershaw was taken out after five innings, even though he'd retired nine consecutive hitters. Injuries will give Friedman an alibi. Walker Buehler was actually, I don't know if you saw this, was on Fox during that
game. Yeah, I heard about it. I didn't see it.
And he's sidelined for elbow surgery. Gonsolin got hurt late, relegating him to an abbreviated start. Dustin May also went down late in the season, which moved him into a relief role. Nonetheless, this winter should be a time of reflection for the front office. Friedman and his lieutenants have to look beyond proprietary data. They have to look at the obvious numbers, too. They have to count the number of championships they have lost. By limiting the responsibilities of his starting pitchers, Friedman has effectively called on his relievers to cover more innings. So this is exactly the recipe that the Atlanta Braves used last year. Their pitching staff had more relief innings than it did innings from starters. This is industry-wide and has been successful. And I would argue that the team that wins it this year is probably going to do exactly the same thing.
I don't know. I think that if you look at the team, the last, I don't know, 10 teams that have won the World Series.
Yes.
That there is normally a starting pitcher who's kind of been a horse, whether it be Madison Bumgarner with those three giant World Series, whether it be Steven Strasburg with the Nationals the year that they won it, Clayton Kershaw the year we won it. There's normally a starter that is an innings eater that helps you out a lot. I can show you the statistics. What everybody is worried about is letting a starting pitcher go third time
Correct.
Through the order.
Yes.
If you go three times through the order, the third time is when the hitter normally has the advantage.
Correct.
The pitcher has the advantage in the first. So that's all he did by taking Tyler Anderson out. But I think it's completely fair, and I think this is what Dylan's doing, to question whether or not this assembly line of relievers, as he called them, are all interchangeable. I don't think they are. Tommy Canley pitched 12 innings all year.
Yeah, but he also had two clean innings during the series until
right.
the seventh but in game four.
I don't
know. Struck out the side once.
Yeah, but I don't know how you can put him in a high leverage situation in an elimination game when you had other guys with more experience and who were better suited for that. I question that any reliever is fine. You know, I think you've got to ask people in the playoffs to go above and beyond. I think I texted to you guys. I would have left him in to pitch the sixth and brought in Martin to pitch the seventh, Almonte to pitch the eighth. I never would have put Canley in that situation, but he did, and it cost him.
Yeah, I mean, it worked twice. It didn't work the third time. It didn't work when they needed him most. Now, the part
and
of
the
it,
thing with Vesia was just weird. Like, I guess they forgot to get him up, and
he wasn't warm.
It was just weird.
The one thing I'll say on that seventh inning is that the part of it I didn't understand is base runners on, Canley in the game, they're going to pull him. Why would you not go to Evan Phillips right there? That
100%.
The seventh inning is
the
ball game.
On the line.
That
yeah.
is what he has done all season long, is come in those key situations and work out of jams. Instead, you go Almonte, and then you go Vesia. Now, both are very good relievers. Almonte had mixed results, and of course, it was probably not fair to Alex Vesia that he gave up that hit because he came in with a 1-0 count, and that's tough. That's a tough spot to be in. But I just don't understand why you wouldn't go to Evan Phillips there. But I think in the end, this question about starters and how far they go does relate to, like, for example, Clayton Kershaw was scuffling in that game. He did retire, you know, a series of batters towards the end of the appearance, but he was scuffling. We only had five innings. And by the way, so did Darvish, and Melvin brought Darvish out for the sixth inning, and he ended up leaving the game with two runners on and nobody out. Runners first, third, nobody out. Of course, Dodgers couldn't score. But, you know, when all is said and done, the pitching is not at all the reason why the Dodgers lost the series.
Well, no, it was timely hitting or lack thereof, but the pitching wasn't perfect. I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around here. I think Andrew Friedman said it right. It was an organizational failure. And I think they got to go back and look, Mace, at, okay, and Friedman mentioned this with that sound you played earlier. In the regular season, they're great. They're great every year.
Sure.
Over the long haul, they're built to be a great regular season team. But in the playoffs, they're not raising their game to the level of the other teams, and they need to figure out why. I would argue that a guy like Canley, if he didn't pitch in those situations, the high-leverage situations during the season, you can't ask him to do that in the playoffs. It was like that game we were at, USC-Texas, where Reggie Bush, right in the middle of that game, lateraled the ball to somebody who hadn't had a carry all year.
But isn't it a mitigating factor that he already had two 1-2-3 innings in the series? I mean, he was arguably their best reliever in the series until then.
But small sample size.
Sure, small sample size.
You wouldn't argue that Phillips is better than Canley.
Phillips is better than Canley, yes.
And Phillips never got in the game.
Never got. Well, I ended up.
It's ninth, I think.
Yeah, ended up getting the game.
By that time, the series was over.
By the way, we were texting at the time. I don't know if you remember this or not, but the moment the Padres took the lead, you texted, "Season over."
Yeah, this is the end, and I was right.
That was it.
I knew we couldn't hit, so that's why you can't surrender the lead. But they did. So,
and here we are.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's devastating. They had an unbelievable year. Now they're I'm up here with the Warriors. They're going to go down as the 2016 Warriors.
Yeah,
a team that won 73 games, and then tanked to LeBron and Kyrie in the finals.
They're the Seattle Mariners out in the first round. I mean, it went from being the most historically great season the Dodgers have ever had to the biggest historical failure that the franchise has ever had.
Yep.
I was listening to some of the other station yesterday, and they were like, oh, you know, it's still a great year. And 100.
Well, they're owned by the Dodgers.
But, I mean, you got to tell the truth. This is an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah.
Unmitigated disaster.
They're not going to tell the truth.
All right, coming up next for you, does Tom Brady still care? Does Tom Brady still care? I want to ask you that coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ah, one of those killer oldies. Mason and Ireland, a live imaging Tuesday. This would be a dedication, but here's the dedication here, Mason.
I know this song. I don't even know what this is.
This is a huge East LA record. Man, our audience knows this song.
I'm your puppet.
Yeah, that's James, right, and Bobby John. Purify.
All right.
Okay, our audience knows it. Trust me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take your word for it.
Well, my word actually is right on this one.
Okay.
Well, don't make me start. Beto is going to come. Beto is going to hit you hard right now. If he's listening,
I'm your puppet.
Beto's going to hit you hard.
Do I care about?
You should.
What Beto says.
Should he care about our audience? Right.
Yeah. Beto works for us. He's not our audience.
Well, he knows our audience. He's got the pulse, and he has now taken, like Lord of the Flies. He's taken over the Sedano and Cap community.
He has taken it over.
Yeah, because Cappy.
Well, because Cappy's gone.
He's not gone. He's in there, but he's boycotting. Oh. He's a rat, and he's gutless.
Wow.
Anyway.
All right.
Wait, who's a rat? And who's gutless?
Yeah,
Cappy.
Now, gutless is a word that's been thrown around.
Why are you down
a lot
on Cappy?
Because first we had T-shirt gate last week.
Yep.
And then he wouldn't admit his fandom. All we want you to do is admit it. Admit that you're a Padres fan like Sliwa did. We're all fine. We know Jorge's a 49ers fan. Who cares?
Right.
And apparently a Warriors fan tonight.
Just for 20K.
And he wouldn't admit it, Ireland. And then we all saw him plastered over TV on Saturday
night.
Yeah,
right in the front row.
Right in the front row.
Wearing
a
Padres gear.
Yeah, he's clearly a Padres fan. He should
right.
own it. He should own his fandom. So why do you leave the circle of trust?
He doesn't want to get ripped. Just like all the people in the Mason and Ireland Mafia came after me yesterday. Oh, don't rip Dave. Don't rip Dave. Anyway, the reason we were playing I'm Your Puppet, they then come at me that somehow I control the six of you, the talent.
Yes.
Yeah, because I control you guys.
Yeah, you certainly don't.
I'm powerful enough to control six dynamic, amazing talent. Some of you are amazing, not all of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the puppeteer around here. Which is not true.
No, that kind of is true.
Yeah, that is true.
How is that true? I don't decide what you guys say.
You're the Joker.
You revel in chaos.
But that doesn't mean I tell you what to say.
You're Andrew Friedman.
Yeah, he's
you are.
Not
you
Andrew
are the,
Friedman.
Morales is the Andrew Friedman of 710.
Well, guess what? If I was like Andrew Friedman and I kept missing in the playoffs, I'd fire myself. And now the Mafia is going to go nuts and go, oh, you should fire yourself. You're mean to Dave Roberts. Ireland continues that way.
Yeah, I wanted to read a tweet.
Is it a good one?
Lakers
opening night, by the way, tonight. Coverage begins
at
5:30 p.m.
Opening night.
It's a really good one.
Is it good?
These lit days are rough with Morales.
This is so 6 months ago.
Does his dad own the station, or does he have some dirt on 710? Yes,
I wish my dad owned the radio station. Then you guys wouldn't be here.
Oh, really? What would we be doing?
Well, you wouldn't be on here.
Why? What would your dad? Your dad would fire everybody?
No.
Mucho would fire everybody around here?
You said I had a choice.
Yeah.
Be a lot more Sedano and Cap, maybe Travis and Sligo, and Ireland. The Ireland show. Got to have the Mason show long ago. That was great.
That was great. That was a great show. A very underrated.
Mason.
Very literally. Underrated.
Good job, John. Mason and Ireland continues now.
All right. So I'm trying to think. Oh, by the way, we're on YouTube today. Everybody should know we're on YouTube. Go to YouTube and search ESPN LA. You'll see a picture of John Ireland, just a photo of John Ireland. Sort of like, I don't know, have you been there yet, John? You look really good.
No.
You're in the corner of the screen, and you've got kind of the white shirt and the sort of slightly undone tie. It's a very good casual John Ireland look.
Good to know.
And by the way, Ireland is lying today. At some point, he's going to tell a lie, and has told one. If you can figure it out and call in at 3:30, you win two tickets to the LAFC versus Galaxy playoff game this Thursday at Bank of California Stadium. Plus, you qualify for the grand prize, two pregame sideline passes. Winning batters. That's why after an accident, you got to go to calljacob.com, 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. And Jacob, thank you for the tickets. Is Jacob coming in today?
Yes, he is. He'll be here for Game of Games.
Game of Games, and I think it's Ireland's game today, right?
Yeah, he's got a chance. Jacob's got a chance today.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, so everybody's laughing at me, John.
Why?
Because I keep walking around here and saying the Rams are in first place. Now, to me, that is just a truth. It's an unavoidable truth. The Rams are in first place in the NFC West.
Right. They're tied for first, right?
Exactly.
With Seattle?
Everybody looks at me and rolls their eyes like, oh, please. We're 3-3. My goal after 8 games was to be 4-4. You got to either beat, you're 3-3 now, you either beat San Francisco or Tampa, you lose the other 4-4, I'll take it. I think the division is going to be 1-9-8 or 10-7.
I do too. And if you win the division, you get in, no matter what your record is.
And they haven't, I will acknowledge, they have not been especially good. They've not been especially impressive. Defensively, they've been decent, although I don't know that necessarily the game against Carolina is a bellwether, because Carolina is absolutely awful. But at the same time, you know, you're in it. That's the one thing you got to say for the Dodgers. They get us in it every year. Now, they don't capitalize. Or have only made 3 World Series and have only won 1, but they do have us in the tournament. And that's the goal for the Rams, is get into the tournament, and then anything can happen.
All right, so tell me if you would have answered this question the same way I did. I was on with Greg Papa today, who's like a Bay Area sportscaster like me. He's got a radio show, does a lot of play-by-play. So I was on his show today, and he said, is L.A. more of a Lakers town or a Dodgers town?
Mm.
And the way I answered it was, I said, well, those are the two biggest teams in town.
Definitely,
for sure.
Definitely.
It's a Laker town. It's a Dodger town. I said, I think the answer is Lakers, because L.A. judges itself by titles. And the Lakers have won more titles recently.
Right.
In other words, the Dodgers won in 2020. But before that, you'd have to go back to 1988. The Lakers won in 2000, 01, 02, 09, 10, and 20. So there are more people that have celebrated Laker championships and Dodger championships. So I think it's more right now a Laker town than a Dodger town. What do you think?
I agree. It is more of a Laker town than it is a Dodger town, but it's very, very close. Both have enormous
and they said,
fan bases.
What's third? I'll see. I think you're going to say the same thing I said.
I'm going to say third. For me, third seems like the Rams.
I think it's USC football.
USC football's there. I mean, they're definitely there, and especially this year. But they were 4-8 last year while the Rams were winning the Super Bowl.
Right, but the Rams winning the Super Bowl puts them in the conversation for sure.
Yeah.
But I think now that that you've got Lincoln Riley there, and I know they lost on Saturday, but I think they're going to be right there till the end. I think USC football's third and the Rams are fourth. And then there's a huge drop-off.
I agree. Saturday was just an impossibly devastating night. I mean, I was more on the Dodgers than I was on USC.
I used my picture-in-picture on DirecTV. I watched
did you?
Them both.
So I was flipping back and forth, and I got there. I was there when Utah scored the tying touchdown and went for two and all that stuff. And, you know, I immediately thought, well, that means USC.
Well, you know, Lincoln Riley, who I love, and I think Caleb Williams is the best player in the country.
He's
I
great.
Think those guys together are great. Lincoln mismanaged the clock.
Yes.
He let Utah run like a minute off when he had all his timeouts, and he could have saved that time for Caleb to maybe make a comeback. And they were only down by one, so it would have made a difference. But Mace, that I cannot tell you how many times coaches, not just Lincoln Riley, but coaches in the NFL and in college mismanage the clock. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
And he was guilty of it on Saturday.
And you know, Bergman says USC's got no chance to go to the college football playoff. And I still believe a one-loss team from the Pac-12 can make the playoff under the right circumstances. Bergman,
yeah, they've got to run the table.
They got to run the table, but they also have to have a UCLA team that's undefeated when they play them at the end of November.
So he's, plus, right, okay.
Plus, all a bunch of guys have to lose above them. A one-loss SEC team is going to get in over a one-loss Pac-12 team.
Yeah, what's weird is because Alabama lost to Tennessee. Oh, and we'll get to that. Tennessee.
And Georgia's thing. Number one, and they're going to have to play Tennessee.
Georgia plays Tennessee?
You have three teams that could all have one loss.
I think Alabama is now on the outside looking in. I mean, they could get there if they run the table, but that both Alabama and USC now have no margin for error. They got to win straight out.
Yeah, got to win straight out. Now, do you think it's important? So I personally think, and I know game day is coming in and all that stuff, and Lee Corso is going to put on a – you know, a Bruin head or a duck head, all that stuff.
Probably the duck. With it.
Probably the duck head. Oregon is a 6-point favorite. But Greg says that it is absolutely imperative that UCLA be undefeated when they get to USC for USC to have a chance at going to the playoff.
Or for UCLA to have a chance. I think a one-loss UCLA team gets ruled out. Like if UCLA loses to Oregon this weekend.
Yep.
That's more devastating than USC losing at Utah.
But even though UCLA would be losing to a number 10 team where USC lost to a number 20 team.
Right, because USC
on
has
road,
more
both.
Big games coming up.
I mean,
you know, they
not
still
really.
Play, they still
Notre
play
Dame.
Notre Dame. Well,
yeah,
they still play
Notre Dame.
Dame
is a dumpster fire.
They are not very good.
Well, and then they still play UCLA. The SC-UCLA game could determine who wins the Pac-12.
Yeah, USC goes bye this week at Arizona, home to Cal. Those should both be wins. Home to Colorado, that should be a win. At UCLA, home Notre Dame. So I think that USC will get to the UCLA game undefeated. UCLA goes at Oregon. This is the tough one. Then home Stanford. Stanford beat Notre Dame, but they're not very good. At Arizona State, home to Arizona, and then home to USC, finishing at Cal. So USC-UCLA at the Rose Bowl is November the 19th. Are we going to that game?
I mean, you want to go to that
yeah,
game?
Yeah, I want to go to that
Let's
game.
Let's go to the game.
Okay. We'll go to the SC-UCLA game. John, you in? November 19th.
I'm looking at the Lakers' schedule right now. No, I'm out.
Ah, damn. I'll get my buddy Alex Michelson. We'll grab some people, whoever. Jorge, do you want to go to the SC-UCLA game?
I wish I could, but I'm busy that day.
Oh,
man.
Ireland, you don't have a game that day.
I don't, but it's in between games. So
home
I'm trying
games?
To... Yes, but I'm trying not to burn myself out.
Got it.
Yeah.
I have a game on Friday night and a game on Sunday night.
Yeah, don't
do
that.
So if I go to the SC game, that will burn myself out.
This is what Heather Dinich, ESPN college football analyst, says about the Pac-12. And well, I'll tell you what it is next. Plus, since I'm getting the rap sign. Also, Tony Romo. You're trying to sell me on Tony Romo. He
well,
said
this
something.
This was pretty impressive, man. Have you heard it?
I have not. I put it on the page, but I've not heard it. I'm waiting to hear what brilliance Tony Romo has displayed. That's coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Live Imaging Tuesday, Mason in Ireland. Yacht Rock sometimes. We haven't been doing that bit as much, so we brought it back for John.
Good.
Make Ireland feel good. It's opening night, yo.
We do it every
it is
week.
Opening night.
Is that all you brought, Morales?
No, I don't know.
You brought... Now, what's your complaint?
You were all fired up walking in there.
Yeah,
we were
all fired up. Arguing with Bergman.
About what?
The Dodgers, about Dave Roberts.
What do you know about the Dodgers?
What do you know about the Dodgers?
I know a lot about the Dodgers.
Okay. Just saying.
You're off your game today.
I'm not.
You are completely off your game.
If you look at my tweets the last 2 days, it proves I'm on my game because I'm getting everybody fired up. Somebody's got to fire people up around here.
Yeah, you're the one that wants to have a therapy session.
Oh,
yesterday was group therapy. Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Really? Yeah. You guys actually laid down on a couch?
No. It was kind of like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. It was me and Momo. It was very sad.
Oh, no.
And imagine reflecting the city we're broadcasting to.
Shouldn't somebody reflect the hurt and anger? And Bergman tried, and then Momo came after Bergman, John. Oh, let's give...
It's just about Dave Rock. I said fire the... change over the
for
roster.
Everybody in the Mason and Ireland Mafia that hates me and sends me the hate mail, look at what I just did. I fired Mace up.
Oh, shut up.
I got you some life.
The shut roster.
We're just some guys messing around, Jorge. That's what we are.
Yeah. All right, we'll mess around.
Hey, we're just a couple of guys messing around. That's what we at.
Look at that smile on your face.
Oh, yeah.
Mason and Ireland continues now.
All right, so I was going to read this Heather Dinich thing. This is Heather Dinich on exactly what's going on with the SC, UCLA, and the Pac-12. She says that it's possible. Pac-12 started strong and had trouble sustaining it. Narrative surrounding the Pac-12 has been doom and gloom, especially on the heels of the summer news that USC and UCLA will join the Big Ten. Certainly merit to consider. The league is living up to, for now, with the LA schools firmly in the playoff conversation, although one loss Oregon, UCLA is at Oregon on Saturday. Defending conference champion finally lived up to expectations. If it's going to return for the first time, for 2016, the league needs an undefeated or one-loss champ. The problem for the Utes was the second loss to UCLA. So Utah's out. One-loss teams from the Pac-12 have a shot. That would include UCLA, Oregon, and USC. So it's not dead. Amazingly, by the way, you know how many times the Pac-12 has appeared in the college football playoff? 8 seasons.
I want to say once.
Twice. Once with Washington and once with Oregon. Yeah, but only twice.
By the way, interesting random fact about Heather Dinich.
Yeah.
Mother of triplets.
Oh, wow.
All boys.
Interesting.
She has three, I can't call them twin boys, triplet boys.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all like 12.
Wow. Sounds like she's got her hands full.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so Tony Romo, go ahead and set this up, John.
Okay, so throughout a game, I'll say, you know, this game feels... I did it this morning. I was talking to some other guys. I said, this Laker game tonight, we need it to be low scoring. If the score at the end of the first quarter is 21-19, that's good news for the Lakers. If it's 35-33, that's bad news for the Lakers. So I'll say stuff like that. But I have never correctly predicted the final score in the first quarter. But listen to Tony Romo. This was in the first quarter of the Chiefs-Bills game on Sunday.
Not going to be a high-scoring game, Jim.
Wow.
Because these two defenses are going to make you drive the field. The clock's going to run a lot because they're going to be consistently checking it down, running the football. Every once in a while, you get a big play. But this is going to be a 24-20 type of game, maybe 30 if somebody goes off.
Third and two.
Final score,
mm-hmm.
24-20.
Yeah, but he
nailed the exact
30.
Final score. What'd he say?
He added 30.
He
said maybe 24.
No, he said 24
maybe,
to 20,
he
maybe
said
70.
Maybe 30. By the way, last night I looked at that game and I said, watch, this thing's going to be field goals and they go to overtime. That's what I said to Juan. Field goals went to overtime.
Yeah, but you
it's
didn't say it on
smart.
The air.
No, I didn't say it on the air. I wasn't on the air. I was in my rooms telling
step it
Juan.
Up. Yeah, say it on the air.
Yeah. No, you're not going to sell me on the Tony Romo aspect of things. I understand that there are people that love him. I count myself in the club that includes Chris Wallace and Dick Ebersol.
Dick Ebersol?
Dick Ebersol.
Yeah.
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 I'm there.
I'm just a hater.
No, I just it's a matter of taste, matter of preference. I don't want that much talking. You know who else doesn't want that much talking? Mike Francesa. So
that's true.
Mike Francesa.
Yeah, he doesn't like Bob Costas.
I don't have that sound either here. We're
Yeah, he's
struggling. But
Mike thinks Bob Costas is doing this game today, this Yankees-Indians game, and Francesa says Costas talks too much. I love Costas. I think he's really good.
Have you listened to any of this game? Any of his games?
Well, not this game, but this series.
Oh,
I have.
Oh, God, yeah. He's awful. All he's doing
is
dredging up history. And poor Ron Darling cannot get a word in friggin' edgewise. I'm like, what? Ron might as well, I don't even know why, punch the clock and leave the press box, because you're not going to get a word in on Bob Costas. And he's telling old stories and old history and all that. I mean, it's just so old fashioned. And Bob is so self-serious. I don't like self-serious as a Brian. Like, you got to be able to joke. You got to have a sense of humor about yourself.
Costas doesn't strike me as being overly serious.
Oh, my God.
Why is he overly serious?
Self-serious. He thinks he's the gift to sports. He thinks everything he says is...
Disagree.
Oh, yeah. Agree to disagree. I'll side with Francesa on that. I think you side with broadcasters.
Well, I'm going against Francesa.
No. I'm saying you side with play-by-play guys.
Yeah, I guess Mike's more of an analyst type.
He's a talk show host.
Yeah.
But I think you tend to err on the side
maybe.
Of that announcer's good.
Maybe.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah, maybe. I never thought of it that way. But I like Costas and I like Romo. Well, Romo's an analyst.
Yeah, Romo's an analyst. I just don't need as much talking as Bob is. Let some of the pictures do the talking. All right, coming up next for you, it is Bobcat. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Hey, stream live sports and original content with ESPN Plus today. You get access to the award-winning 30 for 30 library, unrivaled UFC access, including exclusive pay-per-views, live coverage of 35 PGA Tour events every year. Get the ESPN Plus Disney Plus bundle today and watch ESPN Originals, the 30 for 30s, the whole Disney and Marvel library, and more. Stream anytime, anywhere. Go to ESPNLABundle.com to learn more. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so Amazon has announced that starting in 2023, there will be a Black Friday game on the Friday after Thanksgiving. Kickoff is supposed to be about noon Pacific time, in which the teams have not been announced yet because they're going to wait for the schedule to actually come out.
Yeah.
So what do you think of another day of NFL football?
Well, it's going to be risky because now that means we're playing Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday,
Friday.
Mason, it doesn't bother me as long as they do it on one day, but like Black Friday is fine because the college season, the high school season doesn't really play that late. I guess the college season does a couple of games.
Ohio State, Michigan, is on that Friday or that Saturday.
Well, maybe that Saturday. This is going to be on Friday.
Yeah.
I think as long as they just add one Friday, they can get away with it. But if they start playing regular games on Fridays, I almost think that's oversaturation. Don't you?
You know, I don't think there is such a thing as oversaturation with the NFL. I think you can put a game on anytime you want. Those middle-of-the-night games from London did ratings. I mean, I just think Mark Cuban says, what did he say? You get fat. Fat hogs go to slaughter or something
like
that. Pigs
get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
Right, and he's saying the NFL is trying to overreach. I don't think the NFL can overreach. I think they can play games 7 days a week, and we will all watch.
So that's what I was going to ask you. If they could figure out how to make it work so everybody would be able to have enough rest in between, if they had 7 days a week of NFL football, would you watch all 7 days?
Probably.
Yeah, I would.
Tuesday night football. Wednesday night football.
Kidding me? And think about how much revenue's in that. Apple gets a game, and Prime has another game, and Netflix gets a game. I mean, honestly, there's no end to this, and in the end, it is about money, and owners can get money the more games they put on TV. So it would not ever surprise me if they found another day or expanded to another day.
That's interesting. I don't know. I just feel like what would that do to the other leagues? Like the NBA, MLB?
It would damage the other leagues.
Yeah. All of them would just completely get knocked out. Like, what would it do, John, to the NBA? How badly would it hurt the NBA?
If they started playing 7 days a week?
Yep.
It would hurt a little because, you know, I mean, I've told you guys before, the worst NFL game, like pick a game, this year it would be, I always used to include the Jets and the Giants, but they're good. Like, who are the two worst teams this year? I don't even know.
The Panthers
and the Raiders.
The Raiders, yeah.
I mean, it would do a huge number. It would beat an NBA or a Major League Baseball playoff game. It always does. So yeah, if they wanted to, they could flex their muscles.
Yeah. What are you eating, by the way?
I'm drinking tea and I'm eating granola bars.
Granola bars.
Yeah. Bobcat.
Tasty. All right. So I did not get my Illy today. I get Illy coffee every single day. I actually feel different. I actually can tell the difference.
Wait a minute, Mason, you used to always go there?
Yeah, I switched back to Starbucks. It's easier. You can order ahead. It makes it easy.
Yeah, it's not good coffee, though. Yeah. So it's a part of my routine. I feel like I'm off a little bit because I'm off of my routine. Are you routine people? And if you are, if you are off your routine at any point, does it make you feel different? How does it make you feel?
I think I'm a creature of habit. I don't know, but I don't have to do the exact same thing every day. There are certain things I like. Like, I like big iced teas from Starbucks. I try and get one every day. I got one today. But if I go a couple of days without it, it doesn't kill me. Mason, you're kind of more than you get the same order every day, right?
Get the exact same order every day, the exact same thing. And honestly, if I don't get that breakfast sandwich, I don't feel like it's going to be. In fact, here's how Bergman knows this, but I've never told you, John. So when we're getting ready for the show, I always crumple up a piece of paper and throw it to the garbage can. If it goes in, it's going to be a good show. If it doesn't go in, it's going to be a bad show.
So it went out today?
Went out today, yes.
missed
the can on that one, yeah. Yeah. No, I am a creature of habit. I mean, I like everything to be in order, thus, like eating dinner in bed, part of my routine, part of my ritual, spending time in my jacuzzi and reading, part of my routine, part of my ritual. I do the same thing sort of every night after work. So, yeah, and during the day, it's the exact same thing. So I would say, yeah, if something's off in my routine, I'm off.
Yeah.
Bobcat.
How about you, Jorge?
I want to ask you guys something that's kind of related to this. My routine is off because my in-laws were gone for like a whole month and a half, and they usually watch our kid. So now, for the past 5 days, you know, I've been taking her Brenda's cousin's house.
Yeah.
She's been taking care of our kid for the past, six, 7 days.
Okay.
I want to give her a thank you kind of present, kind of a gift for doing us that favor. What do you guys suggest I do? That throws me out of my routine because I drop her off at a certain time and get here by a certain time.
Sure.
And lately I haven't been doing that.
Box of wine.
Yeah. Box of wine?
Yeah.
Box
of wine. Do not get a box of wine under any condition.
Fine wines can come in boxes.
They absolutely cannot.
Or a bottle of Charles Shaw. I agree.
No. Do not get her two buck chuck. Jorge, does she have a favorite restaurant?
They might. Yeah.
Get them a gift certificate to go to their favorite restaurant.
You know they're going on a trip in a couple of weeks or whatnot. Do I wait till they come
or
back?
Or maybe get them, you know where they're going?
Yeah, they're heading out, I think, Orlando. They're going this whole Florida trip.
Right, so maybe get them maybe buy them something, dinner on the trip or something.
Yeah,
but get them an experience.
Good idea too. Give them an experience or a box
of wine. Do not get them a box of wine under any condition.
Totally reasonable option. Yeah.
Mason had a barbecue 1 year, and Dave Singer showed up with a box of wine, and we gave him crap about it for 20 years.
Hey, what about a couple gummies?
Ooh. Do the in-laws partake?
No, not the in-laws, the cousin.
The cousin.
Yeah, the in-laws come back this week.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my mom is now using cannabis.
She's asleep?
No, for fun.
Okay.
Just for fun, yeah.
Go, Donna.
Donna's having a blast these days.
God love her.
Bobcat.
I was hitting it. Don't worry. So the entire NBA on TNT crew has received 10-year contracts, extensions.
Yes.
Charles Barkley, his contract could be 10 years. It could go up to $200 million. So do you think that he used the LIV tour and threatening to retire to get him into this monster deal?
100%. I mean, I told him it was.
Told him.
I
think you told Charles.
No, I was talking. Who was I talking to about this? I told Worthy that if Charles Barkley was even talking about going to LIV, that I was going to leak a rumor that Barkley was Worthy was going to TNT so he could get more money. I mean, this is always a negotiation game.
By the way, John, I think they're unrelated. It's not an accident. They signed all four guys to a contract. to a 10-year contract extension. I don't think
Barkley was saying he was going to be done in 2 years, and obviously he's not. Now he's going
$10 million a year is tough to walk away from when you for Charles Barkley or for any. I don't know. Barkley's getting $10 million a year. I don't know what the other guys are getting.
No, I don't think that came out. Well, Kenny Smith's did, but I have to go look and find it. But do you think any of them make it 10 years?
Huh. That's a good question. That's a good,
Shaq. I could see Shaq sticking around, but if everybody else goes,
maybe
probably
Ernie.
Not. Ernie, I mean,
maybe like, Ernie goes 10.
He's kind of going through stuff, or he was before at one point.
How old is Ernie Johnson?
I would say Ernie's 60, if I had to guess.
Oh yeah, he's got 10 years in him for sure. I think Kenny's got 10 years in him, and Shaq.
Ernie is 66.
I'd be surprised. 66, and that's a heavy lift. If you get to 76, I would say the least likely to finish the 10-year deal is Barkley.
He's 59.
Who's older and seems...
Although he gambles a lot. He might need the money.
He may need the money. You're right. You're right.
By the way, somebody told me yesterday, I was surprised at this. How do you guys think Skip Bayless is?
66.
What do you think, Mace?
I'd say he's 62.
Jorge? 68. Skip Bayless.
68.
He's 70.
Oh, wow.
70 years old.
Good
like
for
Stephen
him.
Stephen A is 55.
Yelling keeps you young.
Apparently.
Bobcat.
Find my page again. I wasn't expecting it to end right there. Okay, so Harrison Ford is now going to be in the part of the MCU. Don't worry, John. This is not an MCU question. He's going to be part of the MCU. He's going to be in Captain America 4. So now he is going to be a part of the MCU, the Star Wars universe, and the Indiana Jones universe. Is there any other actor that has this type of resume?
No, he's 80.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford.
Oh, he's 80, yeah. He's, I mean, Sam Jackson is in the Marvel universe, in Star Wars universe. Is he in any other universes?
Pixar universe.
He's done Pixar movies, yeah.
Has he done Pixar?
He's Frozone, right?
He is Frozone.
Yeah.
It's two movies.
Yeah, so I think he'd be the closest thing. Sam Jackson would be the closest thing. But Harrison Ford was smart, man. He hitched himself to a lot of different franchises when he was young. And he's probably didn't have to work for the past 20 years, but he did a little. And now he's reaping the benefits of it. I read an interview with him once where he said everybody he went to acting school with dropped out. They weren't getting good jobs. And he said it was a war of attrition. When they needed somebody who was in between 28 and 38, I was the only guy left standing. And so I got all those parts. So there was a method to his madness.
Not the first choice for Indiana Jones. You know who was? Burt Reynolds.
No kidding.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds.
That would have been weird.
By the way, I don't want to see Harrison Ford in the cockpit of a plane anytime soon. Not if he's flying. He landed right on Rose.
Jeez, man.
Well, seriously, right on Rose. It was unbelievable.
Wait a minute. On Rose Street in Venice?
Yeah. Well, technically it was the golf course. He landed on the golf course, but he missed the airport.
Jeez.
Altogether.
What was that, 4 years ago?
Yeah, 4 years ago. Right, exactly. Do I remember that? Yes. It was a big story. Landed on a golf course instead of on the tarmac.
As long as he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine. And still,
Bobcat.
And by the way, still with Calista Flockhart after all these years.
And they said it wouldn't last.
They said it wouldn't last, exactly.
All right, so I don't really have a great question for this, so I'm going to steal a thing. I'm going to take Big Deal or No Deal. UCLA is in the top 10 in football and in basketball. They're number 9 in football and number 8 in preseason basketball. Is this a big deal or no deal, John?
It's a big deal. I mean, they're primarily a basketball school, and now they're rated ahead of USC in football. But here's what worries me about UCLA, Greg, and I'm curious if it worries you.
Okay. They're the only team, by the way, that's in the top 10 in both the country.
They haven't done, I'm talking about football,
okay,
haven't done anything on the road. They haven't gone into a tough road environment and won a tough road game. That happens on Saturday when they go to Oregon.
Hello,
you if team. If they beat Oregon, I think you got to start taking them seriously. But until they win a big road game, I mean, that Utah game was USC's big road test. And they almost passed it. They lost by 1 point. But they lost. So this is UCLA's big road test, and they got to get over that hump.
Yeah, and I think environment does matter. I mean, just talking about that game, environment does matter. As you mentioned, in Utah, that was just a frenzied crowd. In San Diego, that was a wild crowd while the Dodgers were playing games 3 and 4. I think UCLA gets a real test on Saturday in Eugene, and I guess I hope they win.
Yes.
Do I hope they win?
You do. As a USC fan, you want them to win because that'll help you If UCLA is undefeated at the end of the year when they play USC and USC beats them, it helps USC get into the playoff.
Okay, then I will quietly root for UCLA.
So UCLA did play at Colorado, but that's not a bad environment. It's not like a crazy environment by any chance. But no,
Carl Durrell get fired as soon as that game ended?
One more game after that because he's awful.
Didn't the girl show up in body paint? Remember that story?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Exactly. But look, John, if you told me before the year, when you said that you had Washington, Utah, and Oregon three games in a row, and you told me you got two out of three of those at least, I would say absolutely sign me up. That's amazing.
Right, but in order to win the Pac-12, they're going to have to beat Oregon. They got to get all three.
Well, to win the Pac-12, it doesn't matter what if you're north or south anymore, so one loss could actually still get you, or would probably still get you into the
Pac-12. I forgot about that. So theoretically, USC and UCLA could play twice in a month.
Yes.
Which would be fun.
Yeah, so they could still make it to that Pac-12 championship game even with
that. Is that game in Vegas, that Pac-12 championship game? I think it's at the Raiders Stadium in Vegas.
Oh, it might be. I think you're right.
Allegiant? Yeah, for a while there was at Levi. Maybe they're at Allegiant now.
I think they might have moved it to Vegas.
It's a much better spot.
Bobcat.
Okay, done.
To the Roomba.
All right. Coming up next, is the University of Tennessee just super cheap?
Yes.
Okay, we'll do that. Plus, germaphobes. Mike Greenberg may be right. We'll talk about that coming up. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.